Let's have a little talk with Jesus together. Oh, Father, we come before you and we thank you for bringing us together as your people this morning. Oh, we thank you for bringing us your word and your spirit to enlighten and illuminate the word to us. We pray, oh God, we pray with fervency. Awaken us today to the truth of your word and change us by the power of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, teenagers, it's been a great week with you. And I know that you have enjoyed going into the city of Nashville. I told Brianna, I told her parents how proud they would be of Brianna Granger, of her, because I watched Brianna walk out. We were dropped off at a park, and our instructions were quite simple. And what were they, Brianna? Go tell people about Jesus. So we walked out there, and Warnell and Brianna and who else was in my group? Mackenzie is not here today. We walked in a park and initiated conversations about the Lord Jesus Christ with people. And I can tell you that it was not easy. But it was worth it. I know Jakari, he was there, and I saw pictures and movies of him interacting with young kids along with many other of you working with young kids at places. And you'd come at the end of the day and you would say, this is what we got to do with them. We played these games, and this one girl came and hugged me and said, corn dog, because she was wrapping me up. And I just loved it. It warmed my heart. And others of you would come back at the end of the day with holes in your clothing because you don't know how to eat a weed eater. It's your dad's fault, Abby. He didn't teach you. You came back at the end of the day hot, exhausted, and saying, I hope it rains tomorrow. Yeah. I did, yeah. But you came back and you were sharing the things that were glorious. Sammy's face, man, every night, and these folks who went out with the special needs people and saying, it was so neat. My person did this, and I got to talk to my person, and they said this, and they opened up today, and I got to hear the stories. And who was it who got that letter that was like 6 pages long?
Blake,
yeah. Blake got a letter that was like 6 pages long that his special needs guy wrote him about things that were in his life. Chaz, I like what you said, that Mission Fuse, there's something special about that, because when you go, you give. And Sammy, who was it that told you that it's not about what you get in life, it's what you give? All right. I had two guesses, and I got it right. Thank you, Brother Bill. It's not about what you get in life, it's about what you give. And Brother Bill didn't know he could preach my sermon in one sentence. Maybe I still got more to learn from you, Brother Bill. But that's it. Life is not about what you get, it's about what you give. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to open up to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, which is where Sammy read for us this morning, but that's not where we're going to be. I just want to give you the pre-context to understand the passage that we'll be looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Talking about marriage. And as you turn there, we're making our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. I hope that you know something about 1 Corinthians now. It was written to a church who thought they had the answers, who had found some new leadership in the church and who had said, well, look, we know what to do. And in fact, what we're going to see today is that they had written Paul letters, possibly asking him questions. Some commentators say that. I tend to think based on what we're going to read today, that they were probably trying to advise Paul. Because what you're going to see is, and what we saw in the last chapter, is he calls out their arrogance. He calls out their know-it-allness in his letter earlier in the chapters. What we see is a people centered on themselves, trying to make themselves look great and trying to call out why they are such great teachers and leaders and people. And you have Paul coming, and we've looked at six chapters of this. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about what you can get out of church. It's about what you can give to church and what you can give in ministry. And as you remember, he said, ministers were the scum of the earth. Christians, we're the scum of the earth. And until we see ourselves that way, you will not succeed as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about vocationally. I'm talking about personally as a minister. Till we understand ourselves as the scum of the earth. Ones who are there to serve and show love, exactly what you were doing this week. I want you to know, church, your representatives in Nashville were commended by other adults and leaders who said, y'all's teenagers are the ones leading out in all of the ministry tracks. Your teenagers are not the ones sitting on the side and watching the other teenagers and the adults do the work. They're the ones that are leading in ministry. Bravo. Bravo. You have learned your role in Christianity, and that is to serve. You've learned your role, that it's not about what you get in life, it's about what you give. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Sammy, those words are so real. You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, Christian. So glorify God in your body. Here is the premise for what's going to be worked out in a practice. Okay? The premise is this. You are not your own. Christian, we're not our own. And until we give up the idea that God has made me here just to make me happy and serve me with everything in this world, we're going to miss the point of Christianity. That's why I love Mission Fuge. It teaches us that we're out there to give, not to get. And in the end, I dare say any of you would say, I got nothing out of today going and serving people. Because they all came back with mouths full of stuff. Oh, this is what we did today. It was such a blessing to see this and to watch this happen. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Use yourselves to glorify God. Now this is important. And you say, well, we move to chapter 7. I told you, I'm giving you a principle for the practice. The practice is a thing called marriage. Some of you in here have experienced marriage. If you haven't, or if you have and it wasn't so pleasant, I'm glad you're here. Because this is God's word to us on our role, even in the most intimate relationship that we have. Teenagers, many of you will marry one day, and that is good. It is God's design for many of you to find a spouse and learn great humility. But I'm going to tell you, teenagers, I'm going to tell you what I've learned and what many in this room can tell you and what Brother Bill could sum up in one phrase. It's not about what you get from marriage. It's about what you give in marriage. And those that I can look out and see your faces, that you've been married for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years, they'll tell you the same thing. Marriage is not about getting something or someone to complete you or make you happy or fulfill you or a way to make you get all what you want in life or fulfill all of your dreams. That's the lie the world sells you in every song, in every movie, not every, in many movies and many songs. You hear this great, or you see this great idea that there's someone out there that's finally going to make you happy. If that's what you're looking for in marriage, stop now and start reading the scripture and figure out what does God say about marriage. Don't buy into the lie. Because God's word is very contrary to what you'll hear in the world. Marriage, and here's the principle, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You have a body, use it. Chapter 7, use it in marriage. Okay? You have a body. It's God's body. You're a representative. He purchased you. You are His messenger. You are His worker. Go to your marriage. Go to your most intimate relationship. If you're not married, go to your most intimate relationship and sacrifice yourself to someone. Children, sacrifice yourself to your parents, your brother, your sister. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Look in verse chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the matter about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Now here's why I say Paul had received some sort of letter from the Corinthian church. And he had received a letter that was telling him something. And some say they were asking him questions. Again, I think they were probably saying something. And here's the statement. Paul says, you say it's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. And Paul is going to say, what are you thinking? Why are you saying that? We know it probably wasn't the men of the church, right? That's a joke. What happens here is they were probably influenced by some sort of false teaching. And what you're seeing here is someone saying, well, what we're going to do is take something that is good, take something that God has given, and say, well, we can do without that. Because we are more spiritual than any of you other people. And this is what got the Pharisees into trouble. And I was telling people under this week. I read this week, the Pharisees who Jesus had his sharpest criticism for. The Pharisees were a group that, as I read, that started off with some pretty pure and good motives. They wanted to concentrate on personal holiness. And so they set some standards to say, well, we're going to refrain from these certain things because they might be questionable. And we're going to try to do these additional things to help us be more holy, more set apart, and to please God. And you know, by the time we get Jesus on scene, what it turns into are big white flowing robes and big prayers in the streets and people saying, boy, you wish you were like me, don't you? And this is the idea that happened here at Corinth. You're possibly taking something that was a good idea and turned it into something to say, nope, it's not good now that you do that. Don't do that. That's a bad thing. And redefining something that God has made as good in order to have bragging rights to say, well, look what I'm doing or not doing. It's kind of like the Christians who look at other people and say, oh, wait, you mean you don't listen to Christian music only? You must not be as spiritual as I am. Or taking some sort of good thing that God has made in music. Now, understand me. I know that 98% of the stuff put out these days is filth. But there are some things that we get and we can say, oh, well, you're not like me, so I must be a little bit better off than you. Here's the truth. God has made intimacy and marriage as a good thing and as a reflection of something even better. Look at what the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. In other words, God created man in the likeness or in the image in order to reflect His glory. He made us like Him so that we might proclaim who He is. Male and female, He created them. He created them distinctly on purpose, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, what did He say? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, many of you understand the depth of that. Be fruitful and multiply. There's a command there and a way in which we are fruitful and we multiply. It is given by God for the good of His glory. Watch this. God created man for His image, and He said, I want more men so that My image is more proclaimed. You are a part of that process. Be fruitful, multiply, that My image be multiplied throughout this earth as the water covers the sea. Enter sin. Enter, and this is what happens. Sin hijacks and takes over something and reuses it, redefines it, repurposes it for something else. And if you can think of the illustration of a terrorist, back in my day before terrorism is the way it is now, people would get on airplanes and they would take over the airplane and they would say, we're holding you hostage unless you do this and give me this much money. Well, we've seen it in September 11, 2001. They took over the airplanes. They repurposed the airplane and made it a flying missile or rocket into buildings. Repurposing. This is what sin does. It takes something and repurposes it for a different reason than God had intended it. And God has intended intimacy to declare His glory. And here are a group of people in the church of Corinth saying, No. Don't you be doing that. It's not good. You tell me, church. Is it not good? That God has made intimacy in marriage? Is that not good? Look at verse 2. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each one should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. Paul's clear meaning here, and this is something that we need to understand. Paul is saying there needs to be. I am commanding you to have intimacy within your marriage. Commanding. Why? I have relationships with lots of ladies. And I know almost every face I see in here. I know you. I've probably hugged you. But I don't treat you like I treat my wife. And there's a reason for that. God has made a relationship between my wife and I special. And He has made it to reflect the very special relationship that you and I have with our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a special union that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we talked about some last week, is who are we uniting with? And it's no surprise that He comes and He gives us this discussion of are we uniting with the world or are we uniting with God? And then He goes into the illustration of marriage in the very next paragraph. Our union with God is like the union we have with our spouse. It is a special and intimate union. Now, look in verse 4 and you're going to see something very important about your role, husband, and your role, bride, and your role, husband-to-be, and your role, bride-to-be. Why does Paul say, yes, I am commanding intimacy? Why does he say that? For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. For you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God, glorify God in your body. That's five verses earlier. You are not your own, therefore glorify God with your body. Here's an illustration. If you're married, there is intimacy between a husband and a wife, just as there is between God and His people. You are not your own, honor God with your body. Husband, you are not your own, honor your wife with your body. In the words of a wise man, it's not about what you get in life, it's about what you give. Right, Sam? Let me change a word in that. It's not about what you get in marriage, it's about what you give. Teenagers, young people, if you have hopes and aspirations to be married, I applaud you. That is a good thing that you desire. And I hope that you desire it soon and often. It's a God-honoring thing to be willing to give yourself to someone else and sacrifice yourself to someone else. But do not buy the lie of the world that somebody else is going to make you happy. That is not marriage. That is a worldly lie. It's a facade. It's the wizard with a man behind the curtain. There is no wizard. It's just a man behind the curtain. Marriage is about how you can learn to serve someone in the way that Jesus has served you. Marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ and His church. Remember last week, we talked about our unity. We talked about union. And for those of you who are not married, I'm really glad that you're here. Because this is very applicable to not married people too. Find people you're close to and sacrifice yourself for them. Okay, this is the context in which you can very much take the principle here that he's giving. You know, the principle and a practice. The principle he's given, there are more practices than just marriage that this principle is intended for us. So know that. Okay? The principle is you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Honor God with your body. Last week I told you that some people see God as a way to get what we want in life. This is prosperity gospel. And you see this, it's way more popular than what you're hearing in this church. But there are... it's all over TV. Okay? It's everywhere. It's all on the Christian radio. It's prosperity. God will give you. He wants just to give you, fill you, make you, all about you. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. What the scripture teaches is it's not about God giving us what we want. It's about learning that our great joy in life, our great blessing in life is giving ourselves away. It's about getting a call late at night when someone's in need and getting up and driving to go help them. It's about waking up early in the morning to take care of your children because they can't take care of themselves. It's about going to a place where someone needs help mowing their grass because, like Abby says, they're too old. Apparently there's an age that you have to stop cutting your grass. It's about going and doing that. It's about doing what you've done this week. Did you feel it this week, teenagers? The fact that you were sacrificing yourself and yet you left filled? Here's what the world says. Come to Dave and Buster's. Play these games. You'll be happy. Here's what Jesus says. Go give yourself to someone and give everything you have. And you'll really be blessed. People leave the casinos every day distraught because they tried and it didn't work. People leave the football stadium every week dejected because they just can't beat Alabama. Doesn't work. Those things don't work. And they're promoted. She'll make you happy. Oh, you'll find your dream woman and she'll just make you happy. It's all about your happiness and marriage. The Apostle Paul says, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Die every day to your spouse. You give. You give and you give. That is your role. Why do we do this? Well, because the Scripture tells us. And if you're thinking, well, where? One of my favorite Bible verses that I really just think sums up life. You've heard it 1,000 times, but I'll read it to you because 1,001 is better than 1,000 on this verse. It's Acts 20:35, and it is Jesus, and it's some of the red letters in Acts, and it's my favorite quote of one of my favorite quotes of Jesus. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. Jesus is talking about giving ourselves to help those that cannot help themselves. We help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said. Tell me, what did Jesus say? It is. All right. Belinda believes it, but she's the only one in this room believes it. So tell me, what did Jesus say? He himself said, it is. Look, if you believe that, y'all believed that when you were in the evening sharing your message. Y'all believed it. Oh, let me tell you what happened. Oh, it was so great. This is what happened. Oh, I loved it when this happened. I didn't say it's easier to give than to receive, because it's really easy to let everything be about yourself. I said it's more blessed. And this is what the problem with that many people have in life is we can't discern what's better. We like what's easy, but not necessarily what's better. And if Jesus, it's more better. It's more blessed. It's more favored of you to give than to receive. You go find happy husbands out here. Teenagers, go find some happy wives out here. And they will tell you that they're happy, they are blessed, because they know how to sacrifice. Because they know how to give. Oh, man, I could just preach that verse every week. Galatians, Jesus said this, Paul says this in Galatians, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to feed the flesh, but rather through love, serve. Don't feed the flesh. Serve in love is what Paul says. For the whole law is fulfilled in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Serve. Don't feed. It's not about what you get in life. It's about what you give. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, don't store it and hoard it. Use it to serve. And he goes on and lists the ways in which we can serve. Ephesians 5:31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Intimacy, again, is a command of God to intimately be involved in giving of ourselves. And whether, husband, it's your body for your wife. Wife, it's a body for your husband. This is a sacrifice and a giving of yourself. This is biblical Christianity. This is biblical Christianity. True joy, true blessing in life comes from giving. in the immediate context, ladies and gentlemen, spouses, I encourage you to examine, how are you giving yourself to your husband or your wife? How are you using physical intimacy to make your spouse have joy? How are you using your bodies in any relationship to bring joy to someone else? Some of you have incredible musical talent. Are you using that to bring joy to your church? Some of you have an incredible wisdom and can discern and know and read things that are going on. Are you using that on the security team at your church, at our church? Some of you know how to make people feel really welcome. Are you part of our greeter ministry, our usher ministry, or our hospitality committee? Some of you are great at Warnell. Warnell would walk around the park and just sing. Brianna, he would, wouldn't he? He would just walk around the park and sing and sing about whatever came to his mind, and people would look at him and they'd laugh, and then he'd have a way to reason to go over there and talk to them, and then he would talk to them about Jesus. Some of you just have a way with people. Are you using that? Are you using your body, your voice, whatever you have to bring others to know Jesus? That's what, we're not our own. We were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You see, the principle, glorify God in your body. I'm going to continue on because this has direct, some direct ideas for the practice of marriage and intimacy in marriage. And these are important. Do not deprive one another this intimacy, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you might devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again so that Satan might not tempt you because of your lack of control. So husbands and wives, specifically for you, this is a command that's clear. And I don't need to go into very much detail, but it's pretty clear what he says. Don't deprive your spouse unless you are in agreement and you're doing that for some sort of spiritual reason, like prayer. Okay? There's a reason intimacy is there. And I know that there are some difficulties in that, okay? I know that. And you need to wrestle with those. And you need to figure those things out. And I would be more than glad to talk with you through some of those things. But this is what Paul tells them. Why? Because intimacy, again, is a reflection of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you biblical background for that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. Biblical background. The intimacy that we have in our relationships is a reflection, specifically in marriage, of Christ and the church. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. Leave his father and mother. In other words, this is a picture of gospel salvation. We understand that we want to be united to another. And so we are leaving our mother and father. We're leaving one way of life. We're leaving one understanding of life. Look, I can remember. I grew up in my parents' home. I loved my parents. Loved living with them. And I can remember the first night that I went to sleep with my new wife, my new house. And I can remember crying. And somebody say, oh, well, that's kind of humiliating, you crying because you're going to be with your wife. I don't know what it was. I certainly wasn't sad to go live with my wife. It's what I wanted for a long time. But there was a separation that happened. There was a leaving and a setting behind of one way of life and an embracing of a new way of life. And this is what he's saying here. You shall leave your father and mother and go cleave to your wife, or cling, or corn dog to your wife. You go and you embrace fully. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Leave the world. Leave a one way of life. Leave a way that you've understood your whole way of life. Abandon it. Turn your back on it and go embrace another. This is what Jesus is calling each and every one of us to do. Abandon the world and embrace Jesus. And what that means is my allegiance is no longer to them anymore. And this is a picture for us to understand. Every person needs to understand that Jesus has called you away from the world and from sinfulness and seeking pleasure in something else other than in Jesus. And this is an embracing. Hey, come embrace me, Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This is the gospel call. Do you feel it? Do you know? Are you ready to abandon the world and come to Jesus? This is the gospel call of Jesus Christ. Here it is. Therefore, let a man should leave his father and mother and hold fast his wife. He doesn't just say go to her. He says hold fast to her. Cling is the idea there. Embrace. Be intimate with. And the two shall become one flesh. Unite and be one. Sinner, you can abandon the old way of life and unite and be one and be made a spiritual creature in Christ Jesus. If you repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, He is there. You run from the world and you embrace Jesus. This mystery is profound, Paul says, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. God made man in His image to proclaim His glory. God gave us marriage to proclaim the gospel. So here's my question. Do you cling to Jesus? Do you cling to Jesus? Not do you believe Jesus exists? Because I believe a lot of other ladies here exist. Miss Betty, I think you're real. I think you're a real person. You exist. But I'm not clinging to you like I cling to my bride. The gospel call is to come, to be intimate, and to cling like we've never clung to anything else before. This is what Jesus calls, and this is what He requires. Salvation is a free gift of God, but it will cost you everything. Because you must abandon it all. And by faith, believe and trust in the work of Jesus to reconcile you to God. The gospel. Will you be saved today? Christian, are you clinging yet looking? There's nothing there to see. It's all in the face of Jesus. Be intimate. Cling to Jesus and love Him. Let's pray together. Oh Father, we cling to You. We love You. Thank You for giving us this beautiful picture of marriage, this beautiful picture of the gospel in marriage and in intimacy. Oh God, help us, we pray. By Your Spirit, as we sang this morning in our songs, kindle a fire in us to love and embrace the way of the cross. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.